Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ross Tucker with his phone calls as well. Drew right now. Hi, Drew.
Hey, good morning, all.
Hey, Drew.
Good morning.
Listen, Nola, I don't want to hear about Nola, okay? I don't want to hear about him. The hitting is obviously the problem with this team. This is Groundhog Day, 3 years in a row in the postseason, okay? And watching the swings that those guys took, all I could think of was a 2008 lineup. Think of those names, Victorino, Rollins, Utley, Howard, Burl, Worth, Ruiz. To a man, they would all routinely, except for maybe Burl, who was a dead pull hitter, they all would routinely hit the ball the opposite way. When the opportunity in a big spot came and the ball was pitched that way, they would hit it to the opposite field. This team doesn't even try to do that, with the exception of Bohm. Bohm actually does that.
Yeah.
Turner sometimes. But that's the difference between winning and losing.
Look, they are, like most teams in Major League Baseball right now, they are crafted differently than teams of yesteryear. There's no question. They are put together in a different style. And it is
frustrating
hurting them
to watch, Joe. When we're at the game on Sunday, we kept just looking when Harper's up to the plate. There's not even anybody in right field.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're going like, and I know what you just said, they're not built to hit that way. You just look at it, though. Because you don't see it when you're on TV, but when you're at the game, you're
mean left field.
I mean, yeah.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. So no, it's wide open.
True, it's a major problem, and you can't change players in the next 8 hours. What you got is what you got, and these guys got to perform.
Yeah, so for me personally tonight, I'm putting Bohm at third. I'm putting him at third. I'm putting Sosa at second, because the other guys, let's face it, against lefties, Stott, everyone is all the left-hand hitters are lost against left-hand pitching right now. They can't do anything.
Well, and the problem is to go to the outfield. Rojas and frickin' Hayes are lost against everybody.
Yeah, right.
So, Hayes has entered Jalen Reagor territory.
Yeah,
unplayable. Unplayable.
Great call, guys.
Unplayable.
He's not even worth mentioning. And honestly, Dave Dombrowski, in my view, hasn't done a thing. He basically kicked back and lit a cigar when he signed Trey Turner almost 2 years ago. He hasn't done a thing to help this team.
Well, he's done a lot. That's an overstatement and inaccurate.
He didn't do enough at this trade deadline.
He didn't do enough. And here's
this
what I
year.
And here's
or
what
the
I
offseason. Was incredibly expensive, yeah, but he did not do enough.
Here's the thing I think he did wrong. He put too much faith in the clubhouse culture with guys that vibe with each other and they get along and that whole thing. And, I mean, there were dudes like, you know, Chaz Chisholm at the trade deadline. I mean, what an acquisition for the Yankees. Talk about the kind of player and perhaps energy piece.
Energy would bring a little life to this
team.
That
the Phillies could use right now, like that guy right now.
100%, dude.
Now, look, I know the Yankees might lose, so don't get me wrong.
No,
I'm not saying it's a cure-all.
Yeah.
Why is it everyone always says, when you're watching these games, every commentator or when you're listening, to, you know, they're talking about the games. When Bryce is right, he's using the whole field. He's taking the ball where it wants to go. When Bryce is right, he's going opposite field. He's going, you know, to left field with the ball. You know, Rhea just said that they're not even aligning anyone in left field because they know how hasty.
Well, to be fair,
we've been. But no, my point is, if everyone in the world knows Bryce is right when he's using the whole field.
Yep.
Why doesn't Bryce just always use the whole field?
Because it's not that easy.
Get up there.
That's
and
the answer.
Use the whole
John,
field.
Guys are throwing 99 and then 85 and then
right.
83, and the ball's coming in the exact same spot until it goes one way or another.
Like, I agree.
There is split second decisions. Like,
I agree.
It's just, it's hard.
Right,
man, there's a reason the best players in baseball these days hit 29% of the time.
All right, let's listen. I think we all know the biggest sequence last night was when the Phillies had a shot down 2-0. It was the sixth or fifth?
Sixth.
Top of the sixth. First two guys get on. Bryce, nobody out. This at bat and then the Cassie double play, these were killers in the game.
Well, Phillies need a big hit from their big man. Harper swings and misses. Outfield slightly the other way, the pitch. Harper swings and misses. No balls, two strikes to Harper. Manaea kicks the pitch. Swung on and missed. He struck it out on three pitches. Another sweeper way outside, and Harper flailing at it. Down 2-0. Castellanos down to the count. And the 0-2. Swung on, hit sharply, caught by Iglesias. He'll flip to Lindor. It's a double play.
That really hurt, man. That really, really, because they were right there, not only to get
Manaea was
runs,
losing it.
Manaea was about to be out of the game.
Was losing control. Yep.
He was about to be out of the game.
His location was suffering. He was almost out. Just sit. Like, Bryce, don't swing. Just don't swing at everything. Just Casty, lay off.
Yeah,
like, this is the ongoing saga. It's so obvious. Why isn't it obvious to them in the moment?
Well, it's not easy. Let's listen to Bryce after the game on that very crucial at bat.
How frustrating was that at bat there, the sixth inning, in terms of where you're looking for a certain spot and didn't get it, or too aggressive?
No, I mean, he just made some good pitches. Yeah. First pitch changeup. Thought it was a really good pitch to hit. And then, threw me two banger sliders.
Brutal. I mean, look, I'm not going to jump on Bryce Harper. He had a bad game last night. He's been an incredible fill. I'm not going to go from he's an all-timer to, dogging the guy. It was a bad game. He's got to bounce back tonight. It's a huge spot. I could also use more from Trey Turner in front of him, and then the guys behind him. I mean, you had all the righties set up last night behind Bryce. Righty, 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 righty. And they all stunk.
Did you hear this? I mean, Shields said it. The 5 through 9 hitters in the losses are 2 for 30. I mean, 2 for 30.
I know. All right. Right now, let's give you a name so that on Friday you can win tickets to the Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. Of course, we give these tickets away every single Friday leading in to an Eagles home game.
From our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. And it's going to be supposedly going to be gorgeous. Got a 1 o'clock game. So.
Boy, Ray, nice. If you're trying to make me feel better.
I'm trying.
That didn't work.
Honestly, the thought of the Eagles playing morning. Again, the thought of the Eagles playing again after that Bucks game and given the way the Philly series is going is not appealing.
Here's what I'll say.
We may desperately need the Eagles by Sunday.
Look, here's what I will say.
And the Browns. The way the Browns are playing, that might be incredibly helpful.
If the Phillies lose tonight, the Eagles...
even.
Better win.
I can't even. Sunday. I don't want to talk about it now.
All right, James, let's do a name.
And the name is.
The name is Steve Everett. The guy stunk, but he came.
Steve Everett?
He came from the Cleveland Browns as a heralded center. He's going to be the next Kelsey before
University
Kelsey.
Of Michigan.
He was going to be Kelsey before Kelsey. The guy couldn't play.
He's like a top two pick in the draft or something,
He was like an all-pro. He got here, and it was awful.
I used to hear stories about Steve Everett in the training table at the University of Michigan. Like, he really loved corn. Corn, yellow
Fair
corn.
Enough.
I mean, so who doesn't?
I love corn too, but he loved it so much. He would go up and he would take the entire tray from, the catering, from training table and take it back to his.
So we're talking about like corn on the cob?
He had all the corn for the entire team for himself every time.
Well, that's a little
corn.
Rude. All right, so look, we give you a different name each day. Yesterday I had a name, today Steve Everett, and we'll see who's tomorrow and Friday. Ultimately, you can win the tickets to the Eagles and Browns. Friday on our program at 8 o'clock. Always listen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 o'clock for a name. All right. So last night was terrible. There was really no part of the team that played well. The star hitters didn't play well. The complimentary hitters didn't compliment. The borderline star starting pitcher did not pitch well. And the relievers did not relieve well.
Hard to win a game that
way. 0 for 4. And Sosa had another defensive flub. And I don't know that it would have been a double play.
But it could have been. It might have been a double play.
And look, it's two times in this series he's had a bad defensive play.
And the announcers are just like, oh, great job not panicking. It's like, how do you not even mention that it could have been a double play if you fielded it clean?
It was a poor job by them. All right, Mark in Downingtown. By the way, it's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio with the Phils on the ropes. Now, I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I would go to Zach Wheeler tonight, but obviously this is scary as hell. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Boy, you guys have got me all over the place. I was going to relax this morning, but you got me so nervous. I want to say that I agree, Joe. Who do you trust more? I trust Zach Wheeler on less rest.
Yep.
However, John hit it on the head. I would absolutely start Ranger, you know, on a very short hook, and then be ready to throw Wheeler in, only because I do feel confident in, if you know, should we win tonight, have Sanchez start the next game.
Well, here's my, I'll give you my fear with that, Mark. My fear is not that Ranger doesn't go long. It's that in the two or three innings he pitches, you're in a 3-0 hole.
Yep. It's what happened last year in Game 7. Wheeler came in relief. Yay! But they were losing already, and they ended up losing.
I mean, Mark, again, like, I break it down this way. I feel confident, very confident, that Wheeler on short rest will at least give me a pretty good start. It might not be Zach Wheeler Hall of Fame level, but, like, I don't think he's going to bomb. I don't know what I'm getting from Ranger. I have no idea. He is not, other than maybe one or two starts, he really has not pitched well in 4 months.
I was positive Ranger was going to give us a loss. Like when we were heading into this series, as I'm mapping it out in my brain, of course, I thought we would win Wheelers. You know, I wasn't sure what came next. Nola, I was positive that this was going to be that one that we made up for with Wheeler's start.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, Mark. And that's why, look, it's not an easy decision to arrive at, but that's how I arrived at it.
So if Wheeler starts this game and we're confident in Sanchez, what happens if we're going
to... Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to do if we have to take Sanchez out early in game five.
Well, first off, impossible to know how long Wheeler went here and who else got used. Here's the good news. You got a day off. Okay.
Right.
So at that point, you're talking about a couple things. I mean, the regular relievers would be able to pitch. I mean, unless they go two or three innings tonight, the Hoffmans, the Kirk Greens, the Stroms. I mean, game five's 2 days from now. You probably could have Aaron Nola on a side throw day because Aaron Nola will have pitched. Nola will have pitched on Tuesday night. Will be totally available to give you two innings if you need it on Friday night. I'll figure that out.
They'll scrimp
you have
together.
To get there. It's you have about, to get to five.
I can do that.
You know,
it's
like there is
about,
no five if you lose four.
Right. Yeah,
it's all about myopia. Sorry. Like focus in on what do we need to do to get it done now. For Joe, that's starting Zach Wheeler. I would rather start Ranger and then bring Zach Wheeler in if necessary.
Well, Mark, let me ask you a question. It's one of our Twitter poll questions today. I'm just going to ask you a very basic question. Do you feel confident Ranger will pitch well tonight? Yes or no?
Oh, there's no way I could say yes.
Yeah.
No.
That's
I would still I mean, we're running to the Alamo, dude. I would start him and I would give him two runs or an inning or two. I mean, if he looks like crap, yank him and then go forward.
I got you.
And also,
right.
I agree with Rhea. We got to hit the ball. I mean, that's the most important thing.
You agree with the whole world. All right, Mark, appreciate it. Let's listen to Castellanos after the game. This first comment I almost found kind of funny, but we're not really in the mood for ha-has. Not that he was trying to be at all, but it was almost borderline funny. But I did like his mentality with a series of answers last night. Here's one of the things he said yesterday.
Backs are against the wall. What's the pressure like? What's the feeling here tonight?
Well, as a group, this is the closest to death we're ever going to get. So in a way, we should feel the most alive. We're only promised tomorrow. And, you know, this is what we've been working since spring training for, to have this opportunity. And it's just one more time to show out and leave everything on the field. And however the dice is going to land, it's going to land.
Well, Castellanos said a lot after the game that I liked a lot, including this next one.
Instead of just flushing it and forgetting it, I think right now it's really important to embrace what the situation is. We lose, we're going home. Baseball's over for us. And, you know, it's a great opportunity because if we're able to come in and scrape out a win here, I know that they do not want to go back to Philly for a game five.
Look, I like that a lot.
I agree with that.
And I love the statement, it's a great opportunity. I love that statement.
I like that
it's true.
I do, accurate. But a lot of these guys, it seems like, don't handle it well. Like, they press. They try and hit home runs.
I'm
like,
aware.
Yeah, I almost feel like they shouldn't have that mentality because they have proven so far, at least to date, that mentality doesn't work for this group.
But if you notice what he said,
like,
the
mentality that works when they're front runners.
What matters 77,000 times more than what you say is what you do, okay? But I will say, I liked that he referenced, and you guys know I hate the whole flush thing anyway, but I like that he specifically said this isn't about flushing it. He's basically saying we got to learn from what just happened and be better.
No, yeah, I think he's absolutely right on that. I think that's a great point by him.
I mean, that's his point.
But it does feel like there are teammates who like to avoid the hard truth.
I don't
sometimes.
Know if that's true.
I think
true.
Harper
just
literally said, let's flush it after game one. So there are definitely teammates who
I just don't think they respond well to pressure, it seems. You know, of these spots where it's like, oh, let's use this to fuel us. Like, no, I think they use it to tighten up and to press more.
I think they do tighten up. I think this is not team needs to get better at.
Listen, this is part of why we cherish Nick Foles. I mean, he was in the crucible of a season.
No doubt.
He was going against Tom Brady. I mean, at one point there was a fourth and one. Like, the whole season could fall apart. And by the way, Big V got beat on that play, and Foles stepped to the left.
Totally.
Zach Ertz made a really nice hands catch. Like, that was not an easy play to convert because Big V got beat. You got to handle it in the moment, and Foles did. Let's listen to one more Castellanos last night.
Rob came in, said some quick words to the team. All good stuff. But I think just it's going to be more talked about as we spend time together, whatever form that comes about. I'm sure that our conversations aren't going to be about fluff for the next however many hours we have until the start of this next game.
Ross, please tell me our baseball team is going to win tonight.
Oh, gosh.
Ross, I feel you, buddy.
Well, no, I want
talk about insurance. Talk about someone throwing a grenade at you.
Should I play the Rocky music under this? Or?
So two things real quick, okay? Yep. Number one, last Thursday night, okay, I'm out in Colorado getting ready for a game. The guy next to me works for CBS, is a Mets fan. It's the top of the ninth. They're in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right.
They're down 2-0. Like, you guys were talking about that London game. It was the ninth inning, and this Mets fan next to me for CBS is like, it's over. We're going to lose. Like, baseball is just crazy.
That's a great point, Ross. Listen,
I thought for sure I would have bet a lot of money that we were playing the Brewers. I was happy we were playing the Brewers. And then it might have been my fault because the Mets fan says to me, this is probably Pete Alonso's last at-bat as a Met.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like he's been there for 10 years. I'm like, oh, I hope he hits a home run. And then he did.
Oh, my God.
It's your fault, Ross.
This is my fault.
All right, Ross, Bad job, Ross. Your second point, and I love your first one, let me just say that, other than that Pete Alonso thing, that resonates with me because here's the deal. We are all down. But I, as a fan, I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm not down and out. I mean, we have seen crazier things in life. We saw Nick Foles again beat Tom Brady. Brady threw 500 yards. We saw Diamondbacks last year down 2-0, down 3-2. I'm switching sides now, but you get my point. Things happen. We saw the Phillies in 80 down 2-1 of the Houston Astros. We saw the Phillies in game 5 of that series down 5-2 to Nolan Ryan. This thing is not over. Okay. What's your second point, Ross?
My second point is, it might be a question as much of a point, but it just feels like baseball, there's so many unknowns, there's so much variance. Everything you just said there, Joe. In other words, like, do we think the Mets are better than the Phillies, or do we think this is just baseball?
That's always the conundrum at this time of the year. You always wonder that. And here's the other thing.
They're definitely playing better than the Phillies.
And
but are the Phillies choking, or is this just like the ebbs and flows of a baseball season? And maybe here's what I'm upset about, Joe.
Sure.
I thought after Sunday night, after Casty, you know, after Stotter hits the big hit, after Casty, in my mind, it was like, okay, we got the magic baseball postseason mojo back. We're going to go to New York. We're going to win. Like, whatever that formula is, I thought we got it back Sunday night, and we didn't.
No, clearly didn't. And look, you're touching on some very big points because this is the thing about baseball in the playoffs. It is hard to discern the whys. Does it just happen because... All right, look, we'll take all the calls. Obviously, our hearts are heavy. It's not over, But it's a tough spot right now. It's a tough spot.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.